The following is a segment from the Education Gadfly Show. Visit edexcellence.net to listen to full episodes or to sign up for the print edition of the Education Gadfly. For quicker delivery of the podcast, subscribe to us on iTunes.
Amber, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much.
So this is a special research minute. It's more like a China talk.
It is. So hopefully I'll get more than 1 minute.
And I do hope that the song we're going to play later is My Little China Girl.
I like that one.
I like it too. All right. So Amber, straight back from China, 10 days over there.
Still jet lagged, baby.
Yeah, I bet you are.
Yeah, waking up at 3:30, wide awake, not being able to go back to sleep. But anyway, I'm still here.
Well, I hope you serve yourself some dim sum when that happens.
Yeah.
So you went over there with this global
policy group, and it's got some other word in there, but you get the idea.
And you got to go do some sightseeing, but also go see lots of schools. Learn about the Chinese system. Mm-hmm. Now, our own checker, Finn, had warned you before you left that they're going to give you a dog and pony show.
Yes.
They're going to just show you the best.
That's
they're not
right.
going to let you see the underbelly.
Sad to say, he's right. Drives me crazy when he's always right. Yes. But yes, we got to see the best of the best. The best private schools and the best public schools, and many times you couldn't tell the difference whether it was public or private. So they were all top notch.
Yes. All right. Well, let's talk about a couple of things. You've been writing about some of this on the blog, and some things have caught my eye in particular. First of all, governance, right? Mm-hmm. We're getting interested in this topic at Fordham Big Conference on December 1st about the issue here in D.C. You know, there's some reformers who might not want to admit it, but might daydream and say, if we only had a dictatorship, benign, if that, we could get all of these policies through. But this fragmented government of ours makes it so hard. So China, Communist Party runs a show. Does this help them run a good education system?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are some pros and cons. I mean, obviously, and I even say we've got a little editorial this week where I kind of go into depth about this. But I mean, I think obviously one advantage is, yes, you can kind of push through. I mean, i.e. they have, this common college entrance exam that all kids have to take. So what they're taught is obviously fairly structured. I think there are some good, lots of advantages. But bottom line, they obviously don't value individual rights. So in some cases, teachers are being moved to other schools, maybe where they don't want to be moved to. But the state says, it might be in our best interest to have our better teachers teach these certain kids, whether they be the high achieving kids or the lower achieving kids. Mm-hmm. So I think, in some ways you see some advantages, but also obviously, there are some provinces particularly who are calling for more freedom. And in some cases, the state is granting that. So you're seeing some a little bit of chipping away at what the state's been able to do in terms of calling the shots, but not too much chipping away, only as much chipping as a state's willing to be chipped.
So you go into a classroom in China. Does it look like what you'd see here in the United States?
So, I mean, I think in many ways it's just sort of reflected what I've heard through the years and what many folks have heard about Asian education. The kids are sitting in rows. And the schools I visited, they're in school uniforms. And the teacher,
which, by the way, look like tracksuits.
They did. They look like tracksuits. The teacher walks in. They stand up, which is a nice little, respectful gesture. And she continues to basically ask a ton of questions, all of which appear to be recall. And kids listen, and they respond in unison as a group, at least in the classes that I observe. So
she's not asking them how they feel about this or that.
No, she's
creative ideas.
She's pretty much asking recall, are you following me? What's the answer to that? I mean, obviously it's in Mandarin, so I'm sure my best guess is that it was recall. It is just classic direct instruction in the best sense. But kids are wide awake. I wasn't bored. These kids, I mean, the teachers in many ways act like entertainers. They're enthusiastic. The kids are often laughing, so they're injecting some humor in there. Mm-hmm. I saw one.
You're
kid
not sure they might have been making fun of you, but
they could have. Anyway, I gotta say, with blonde hair, you're kind of a freak show in Shanghai, Beijing, and Xi'an. So
that's very good. And these classes, I understand, had upwards of 50 kids in them.
50 kids. Yeah, I just kept counting and recounting. And it was like 47 in one. It was 52 in one. So 45 in another.
But I guess the kids are so well behaved. Classroom management
problems.
No
classroom management. And when you ask Chinese teachers about discipline problems, they look at you like you've got three heads, And then one teacher said, well, we don't talk about discipline in class. Class is for classroom instruction. It's like, oh, okay.
Now, I understand that there's some people in China who would like to move away from this rote instruction. They look at the United States. I understand, Steve Jobs died while you were over there. Obituaries everywhere, revered. And the refrain in China was, we want our own Steve Jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do they think they're going to make that happen?
Yeah, so Premier Wen has come down with basically a list of reforms that they'd like implemented for 2020, one of which is teaching more creativity in classes and more basically constructivist type of learning. And the teachers are wanting to do it. You know, they're like, okay, it's coming down from the state. This has got to be a good thing. But I don't think that they know what to do with that. You know, they're struggling. In some cases, you'll see little examples where kids will work in groups, but you get the sense that they still don't exactly know how to do this because most of them didn't go to ed schools. Most of them don't know pedagogy. They just know, I'm the expert here and I'm supposed to tell the kids what I know. So I think it's really kind of one of those precarious situations where it's not exactly clear how this is going to be implemented. And in some cases, they have classes on creativity, which kind of is...
Well, what's not clear to me is that they're at all taking the right lessons from America. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, we produce a lot of creative people and entrepreneurial people. I don't know how much credit our schools get, or at least what happens during the school day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would say that perhaps our extracurricular activities deserve some credit for that, building confidence and a can-do attitude. And there might be some schools that do it well during the school day, but it just seems like it's more a part of our culture, mm-hmm. right? I mean... For better or for worse, we don't have kids show as much respect for authority. Mm-hmm. And while that's not fun for teachers much of the time, it does make for people who are more willing to question and think differently and go out there and create a better mousetrap. And that's not necessarily all happening in our schools.
Yeah, and I think, right, the same can be said of China, right? It's not exactly what's going on in classrooms. It's that when the kids go home, the parents are saying, okay, you need to be doing 3 hours of homework. And this test that you're going to take in ninth grade is going to determine whether you even go to high school, much less college. So, they've got many more individual, consequences for kids than we can even dream about having in this country. So.
No, and they say, and by the way, you are my Social Security.
That's right. My son.
Uh-huh. So everything is riding on you getting these good test scores, getting into these colleges so that we can have an okay retirement someday.
That's right. Exactly.
All right. So thank you, Amber, for joining us on our special China Talk.
All right. It was a pleasure.